is Danny, Dave, and Moore.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Now, the opening drive.
Russell Wilson with an excused absence today, and you know what that means. Some guys that don't normally get to play got to play an awful lot. Lots of Paxton Lynch, lots of Geno Smith. A world without Russell? Let's hope it never comes to fruition.
I was talking to a lady who was who had come to her first practice. She's like, where's Russell? I'm like, I'm sorry. That he never misses practice.
That's the only one I can remember.
Oh, there's another one, something about Jimmy Graham.
Surrogate mom, when she died.
Yeah.
He went with Jimmy Graham to go to the funeral.
That was the only other one, though.
That was the only other one. And then, you know, he's only missed a couple of snaps on the field other than times that they brought in, you know, for mop-up duty. So, yeah, but, you know, honestly, I was watching the, is that the Blue Angels?
Yes, it is.
Is that the Blue Jays out there?
You can hear it inside here.
Sorry, another person. Walls. You'll hear this later. Another person also called them the Blue Jays.
That's right.
I'd like to think that that's the Blue Angels having heard what you had to say specifically, so they're buzzing the tower today like Maverick in Top Gun when he requests permission for a flyby. They deny the permission, but this is them just buzzing your tower, Jim.
It's like somebody said, I don't like America if I don't like the Blue Angels.
That's fairly accurate.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
I don't like apple pie either. Is that okay?
What? Are you serious?
Oh, I don't like apple pie either.
I don't like apple pie. No, I don't.
Yeah, but the Blue Jays, you're going too far.
How can you not like apple pie?
I hate the consistency of the apple. It's all slimy and disgusting.
If you give me 3 scoops of vanilla ice cream with it, I can get it down.
You're choking
that
down.
That is not how apple pie is meant to be eaten.
Apple pie
is
delicious.
Getting it down is not a process of consumption when it comes to delicious pie.
Apple pie has to be eaten a la mode or it shouldn't be eaten at all.
Why don't you like apple pie?
I just don't like it. I've never really been a big fan of apples either. I mean, they're okay. I like the Honeycrisp apples.
You're not a Washingtonian.
And then, on, you know, Evolve 180, you're not supposed to be having some of these fruits, and so I pay attention to what they want
That's
me to
right,
do.
That's right, because we know you as nothing
That's
but
right.
discipline.
That's right.
His body is a temple.
He's on his fourth weight loss program.
Hey, Matt Nelson is about... No, don't laugh at that, Matt. Matt Nelson's the golf show guy.
I think we've run out of weight loss programs for you, Jim.
Come on. Come on. That's cold, Wyman. That is just absolutely cold. Where'd we go before apple pie?
You not liking apples?
You don't like America?
No. Well, the Blue Angels, they're okay. I just, you know,
they're awesome.
Oh, they're here again. Yeah, it's not that big a deal
awesome.
To me. I like the Hydros better than the Blue Angels. But then that's just old school going back. A long time.
All right. Do we want to hear a little bit from the quarterbacks who played today? You want to hear Geno Smith?
He still thinks he can be a starter in the league after what he did today.
I don't know if he's ever been interviewed on this program, but here is Geno Smith talking about what differentiates Russ from the rest.
You know, Russ is he's one of those guys where he's a pocket quarterback, but he's extremely dangerous, you know, when he gets outside of that pocket. There's maybe 2 or 3 guys in this league that you can say that about, you know, Aaron Rodgers and a couple other guys. And Russ is up there with the best of them. Obviously, his leadership stands out. His ability to make plays when there's nothing there to move around and to find guys open. And then in the pocket, he's just as deadly.
I want to just for a moment observe that Geno Smith has signed to compete for a backup job behind a guy who has never missed a game in his 8 years in the NFL, doesn't really miss practice. This is the second time we can remember him not practicing. And he ends up getting asked in his one opportunity to play today. Afterward, he's asked to explain how great Russ is. there's something kind of entertaining about that. Where he's like, hey, this is maybe it. This might be the best moment he has as the Seahawks backup. Was one practice today all to himself. And when he gets up at the podium afterwards, it was like, what differentiates Russ from other quarterbacks?
It was his only chance.
Yeah, this is it.
So how bad did Geno Smith look?
I thought he looked okay.
Because I was reading a tweet today from somebody that said it didn't look good for him in the red zone. He missed a wide open Gary Jennings.
Yes, that happened.
He did. There was some good coverage down there, though. Also, you know, I thought the kid, the veteran kid, Taylor, he looked really good. And you know what? That's not been
Marwan Taylor.
That's not
Jamar.
Been the
Jamar
case.
Taylor.
Yeah, JT. Jamar Taylor. It's not been the case here. He's a 7-year veteran out of Boise State, and he was just signed this year. And usually the guys that get signed here at corner aren't great. They don't end up making it. Usually it's homegrown guys. So we got a chance to visit with Deshaun Shedd, too, Danny, which was awesome.
Really cool.
Yeah. So really nice to have him out there, too. He looked good in coverage. I thought the linebackers looked really good. You know who's been getting covered? Jacob Hollister. Jacob Hollister got covered by linebackers and stuff today. The defense did a good job. You know, I would say that. More than it was not great throws by Geno Smith, I thought the defense played really well in the red zone drill they did.
Is that important for the defense, this training camp?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look, you have to discount it a little bit because it's not Russell.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they did a really good job with covers. They were all over him. And there was a big debate over whether or not there was pass interference. Calitro got called. And I thought it was maybe a little inconsistent, but it was good to have the officials out there to kind of, you know, just get them used to what you can and can't do as far as pass interference goes. But, yeah, I thought those guys did a really good job. Ben Burkervin had a hit on the goal line where there was a catch, and he came up, and it would have been fourth down after his tackle. So defense had a good day. But, yeah, you do have to discount a little bit because no Russ.
How'd KJ look? It sounds like he had a good day out there. I read where he blew up a run play that would have been for a safety and then had an interception too.
He did. And there was only one thing that, you know, him and Bobby had crossers that were going across and it was a zone and Bobby passed his guy off and KJ didn't. So just a little mistake there. But, you know, I mean, those things are going to happen. And but yeah, KJ looks good. I was standing there and Michael Kendricks, KJ and Bobby were all standing together, just kind of off on their own. And what a great threesome of linebackers. And I heard Pete talking about how, you know, they're going to try to get those guys in together. I saw a formation where Kendricks was up on the line and on the other side was KJ and Bobby was in the middle. And, you know, they were man-to-man coverage. I think Kendricks can cover lots of people. The way he moves around the field, his pad level, everything, he is going to be really fun to watch this year.
Are we going to see a different formations? Are we going to see more flexibility from Seattle's defense this season?
You know, a little bit, I think, because like Barkevius Mingo, they've been trying him out with the Leo. So, you know, if you have a 4-3 in and he's in the game, there's four linebackers in the game. And I think that Cody Barton can do that too. So, I think a little bit different, but I don't think you're going to see some drastic change. I think we talked about this yesterday. The answer is not changing your scheme or anything like that. It's that Pete is going to continue to develop guys to play in this defense.
The thing, when I look at it, and this is Pete's shown through the years that he's got sort of a template that he uses. They don't blitz a ton. Mm-hmm. They don't do a lot of different things to try and confuse, or it's not an elaborate scheme.
Not exotic, Danny.
I was trying to avoid saying exotic because I wanted to go through this entire training camp without saying two words, exotic or vanilla, because I believe that those are completely overused.
How about three tech?
No, because
three tech and five tech.
You could avoid those, but anytime people talk about preseason football, they'll talk about expect the defense to keep it really vanilla.
Oh, yeah, you hear that a lot.
Because you don't want to show them too much for what will happen. And I think that gets grouped in the category for things that just get said.
Mm-hmm.
Don't expect too many exotic looks
from
the defense.
Well, and exotics are like what you saw in the Super Bowl. I mean, what New England did, they pretty much changed their defense, and they had different line alignments and linebackers up in the gap and doing all kinds of sort of old school things. It was interesting.
Now, New England is probably the exact opposite from how Pete Carroll approaches it.
Right.
Pete wants to play his defense. Like, that we're going to play how we play, and we know the weak points in it. We know how teams will try to take advantage of us. New England's almost the exact opposite, where Bill Belichick draws up his defense based on what he thinks the opponent is going to do.
Every week.
He tries to force a weakness in their offense by how he schemes. From the outside looking at it, I say that Jaron Reed and Frank Clark was traded. Jaron Reed is suspended the first six games. Those were your top two pass rushers last year. LJ Collier, your first-round draft pick, he's hurt. We're not going to see him much in August. And then you look at their linebackers, and they've got KJ Wright, Michael Kendricks, Bobby Wagner. Cody Barton has maybe had the best training camp.
He's had the best training camp I've ever seen.
And throw in Barkevius Mingo and Ben Burkervin, your strength might be your number of linebackers. How can you get your best players on the field? And do you start, instead of saying this is the template and this is what we do, try to come up with some ways to make sure that your best defensive players are on the field at the same time?
Yeah, I think that might be getting close to territory of things that just get said, because you have to match up. You can't have four or five linebackers in the game if they're in some big, heavy formation. They're just going to run it down your throat. You have to have D linemen in there and those types of bodies. So, you know, by the same token, if they're four wide receivers out there. Now maybe you can. I mean, I know, look, I don't ever question Bobby's coverage skills. Remember, and I always go back to the 2013 game against the New Orleans Saints where, you know, oh my gosh, how are they going to cover Jimmy Graham? How are they going to cover the scat back kid out of the backfield, whoever that was? What was it? Darren Sproles. And they just bumped, and KJ covered Jimmy Graham, and Bobby covered Sproles, and it wasn't a problem. So they're good at that. But by the same token, you can't have, you know, three, four linebackers out there when they're in what's called 10 personnel. That's four wide receivers and one running back. And especially just like the other day, they put Tyler Lockett in the backfield. So now you have five wide receivers out there, and you can't have, you know, you got to have only one or two linebackers because the DBs are better at covering. So I just think that that's something that, yeah, maybe they will find a way in, like, mixed downs where there's not some big advantage one way or another. It's kind of a middle-of-the-road type. You know, those are the two extremes. Four wide receivers and another wide receiver in the background, backfield, and then the other one is, like, a super heavy goal line, you know, with two tight ends, three tight ends sometimes, a fullback. You know, you have to match up with defensive linemen in the one extreme, and on the other extreme, you got to match up with lots of defensive backs and guys that can cover.
Am I channeling you here, Jim? Because I feel like I look at the defense and I say, they weren't that great last year. They were average, maybe slightly above average, but I would say kind of middle third of the league in defense. They traded their best defensive lineman in Frank Clark. Their second best defensive lineman is not going to be around for the first six games. Their first round draft pick got hurt. And I look at it, I don't know if I expect them to be better. Just based on that recitation of things, you've got Ziggy Ansah, who's there in place, and it sounds like he's going to be ready sooner than most people expected or worried he would be there. Is this defense going to be better, do you think?
No, I think it's going to be worse, and I don't know how you can look at it and think it's going to be better, at least right away. I mean, you like the potential of some of these guys, but they're guys that really haven't proven it outside of the linebacking core, and then with Jaron Reed, he's proved it, but as you said, he's not going to be there the first six games. Bradley McDougald, he's proved it. But you're still looking for somebody to hook up in tandem with him back there at safety. So Shaquille Griffin, who we're going to be talking to here in about 10 minutes, coming off a so-so season at best for him. Trey Flowers, the second year for him over on the other side. So, yeah, I think there's a lot of question marks on that defense. And that's why I like what people are saying about the offense, with everybody thinking that the offense is going to be really good this year. And if they are, it's going to help the defense. I go back to what I was saying yesterday, and I know it's just simplified stuff, but, boy, I think time of possession, ball control is going to be even more important this year with a defense this many concerns. The thing that I was most encouraged about today happened after practice. Justin Britt, when he talked to the media, talking about Puna Ford, saying that he could be one of the best nose guards ever. Maybe I'm overstating that. Maybe he said it was in Seahawks history, but still, just talking about Puna Ford like that and Justin Britt going up against him every day, one of the best nose guards in history, Puna Ford, that's good stuff.
This is the thing, is you talk about what he said. Do you know what he said?
I don't know exactly what he said.
Should we listen to it?
It's either going to be the best in history, NFL history, or, and I was looking for it. I went down Condotta's timeline. I went down Greg Bell's. I was looking all over for it. I couldn't find it, but you have it right now, and you're going to play it. We're going to find out for sure.
You didn't ask me for it, though.
I did not ask
or to consult
it.
This. We would have been able to hear it. Well, we'll hear it now.
Puna, he might he has a chance to end up being one of the best nose tackles that that could have played. And you know, he's got that God-given leverage, and he knows how to use it. He knows how to control everything with his size and whatnot. But he's quick. He's great with his hands. I mean, I don't know a lot of people that be better to practice against than Puna Ford.
There you go. That's high praise.
That was one of the best ever.
The best could ever play.
Yeah.
Justin Britt's
a baby. That's encouraging.
He's hard to block. I think there's nobody like him because of his height and his arm length and his motor.
Well, that's one guy. We've also got a guy in the secondary to talk to. Shaquille Griffin is going to join us. That's going to be next here, this hour of Danny, Dave, and More, brought to you by Parsons Extreme Golf.
You're listening to Danny, Dave, and More.
Live from the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming through the 710 Sports app and on 710sports.com.
It's Danny, Dave, and More. We're joined now by Shaquille Griffin. Shaquille, how are you?
Good, good. Appreciate you guys having me.
Well, we're excited to have you. The first thing I want to say is that I heard about the grade you gave yourself, and my immediate thought was that we needed some positive reinforcement for you because I think you might be overly negative about yourself. Handing out Ds? Come on, man.
Well, I've always been really tough on myself. I think I grew up that way. You know, my dad, my parents, you know, specifically always told me, you know, I got to be my biggest critic. You know, actually, you know, the grade came from me. But, you know, my first evaluation came with, you know, watching film, my brother. You know, that's one person I know he'll be just as hard as I am on myself. And we kind of both came with that common grade. Like, it's something I have to continue to work on and prove myself to be better. You know, once this season come by and I come back and tell you it was an A, that means I had an amazing season. So that's something I'm looking forward to, and that's what I'm striving to be, you know, get an A in this next season.
It's kind of a, I think it's a player thing. You're sort of tortured, right? You can only remember the bad things.
Yeah.
Yeah. When you guys were watching film, but you should think about the good things, man. Like Danny said, we've got to be positive here because you're a great player. What do you guys watch when you said you're watching film? Do you watch the cut-ups or do you watch like an entire game? Because I heard you were also watching the 2013 defense.
Yeah, we watch cut-ups. When I watch in the 2013 season, I'm watching, you know, whole game. So I'm watching the good, I'm watching the bad. And, but the thing that was different to me is when guys messed up, it was always that another teammate that was right there to help them fix that mistake. So, and that's the type of defense that we need. We need guys we can count on. Every play won't be perfect, but we got a guy that'll sit there and protect you on each play. You know, we got to look for each other. We got to have each other back in that same instance the way they was in 2013. And that's the type of idea I was trying to pass on to those guys, not just, oh, you know, the Richard Shermans and the Earl Thomas making all these plays. It was just that defense, you know, by itself protecting each other.
You know, you also talked about, because I just think you're a great example of a pro. You're a good man and everything. But you talked about becoming a better teammate and a better man. Explain that a little bit more about, I guess it was more about not so much your personal accolades.
Yeah, because it's a team effort when it comes to wins. And if you sit there and think about, oh, well, I need two picks this game. I need a tackle for loss. Instead of saying, okay, you know, it's, you know, fourth quarter, it's 30 seconds left. You know, if this ball hit this flats, I got to make sure I defend it in the game. I can't be thinking about a pick. I got to make sure I make this play that they counting on me to make it. And, you know, like I said, if I can do that, become a better teammate and focus on making plays for this team, then the stacks and the accolades and everything will come along with it. So I think that was just a maturity level. You know, everybody come and want to just have all these different stats, you know, so it look good on paper. But if you ain't winning games, it doesn't mean nothing to me.
Yeah, you said something to the reporters in June about you felt like you put too much pressure on yourself, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, no doubt. I feel like, you know, moving to that side, I had big shoes to fill, and I felt like I had to do, you know, certain things differently. I had to make more plays, or I had to be in every spot instead of just playing my regular game and just being who I was when I first got here. And I felt like I took that part away from myself. So now I'm back to just playing my ball, playing with instincts, and playing that same game that I'm used to playing and just playing great.
And you felt like you needed to lose weight. It never seemed like an issue just watching you out there. But what went into that, why you thought you needed to do that?
I felt like I kept my speed last year. I was like 210, 212. I kept the speed, but when you're carrying that much weight for so long, you just get fatigued a lot faster. And I wouldn't be able to run fast, but run just as long as anybody else. You know, with different offices, they got personnel. They switch each time. So I can go against one receiver, he'll run me on a fade ball, and I can come back and press up. And if you're a brand-new, fresh receiver out there, I got to be able to run longer than everybody else. And, you know, and that's where the weight came into play. You know, I was so heavy that I was just straining just to push extra hard just to be able to carry it. And I wanted to keep my speed, and I kept that last year. But like I said, I got fatigued a lot faster because I was just straining to pull all that weight. So I lost about 20 pounds, and now I can run all day. It don't take me as much energy just to go faster. So it feels great out there when I'm running around and breaking.
Well, 20 pounds is a lot of weight. Like when you go and, what is it, two jugs of milk? Gallons of milk, or you know, you pick up a 20-pound dumbbell and you realize, man, I was running around with this.
Yeah, and it feels good. So when I weighed in with all my equipment, and it was funny because I weighed in almost, you know, 8 to 10 pounds lighter than I was with nothing going. So I was okay, yeah, that's a big difference. So yeah, I'm running a lot faster now.
is today the cheat day or tomorrow?
I was gonna have it be today, but I feel like it'd be perfect after a scrimmage. You know, now you got a scrimmage and you got the Sunday off. So it's like maybe I should wait, all the guys get together, and we kind of pig out a little bit, you know. So I think I'm going to save, you know, for Saturday.
I got a kick out of your comment about baked chicken. Like you can only have so much of it.
Yeah, I thought I was going to turn it into one, so I had to let it go for a minute. So I veer more towards seafood. You know, the baked chicken, enough was enough. So I took a break from it. But now they're cooking it upstairs, and I can't run from it. So I can't run from it. It's up there now.
We're talking to Shaquille Griffin. They prepare the seafood a little bit different out here than you're accustomed to in Florida.
a little less seasoning. Have you gotten used to how we serve our seafood here?
Have I got used to it? No, not really. But I feel like what I do differently is if I go get any seafood, so it's a place called, I think, Crawfish House here.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just grab a bag and I take it home, and then I do what I got, my own little adjustments.
So you put your own blackening seasoning on it?
Yeah, so I just do my own little adjustments, and we go from there.
You talk about the 2013 defense, and that's obviously a defense that's really fondly remembered mm-hmm. here. It's also kind of the standard. What do you see when you look back at those games? What jumps out to you about the way they played?
Just they play every down like it was their last down. I can honestly say that, you know, you got coaches that tell us, like, you know, you don't know what could be next, so take one play at a time. But they honestly live by that. Besides just saying that, they live by that code. And from the time the whistle was blown to the end of the game, they played their butts off. And I feel like that's the type of defense we need to be. We got to be able to do things right longer than other teams. You know, most games now in the league, it's no blowouts. It's, you know, it's down to a couple points. And it's about who do right the longest. And that's what we preach, but now we got to live by it. Instead of just talking about it, we got to better live by it. 2013 defense did that day in and day out, each game, one game at a time, and one play at a time, actually, and they made it happen. And I feel like that's what we have to do. We have to do it right longer than everybody else and continue to, you know, just stay on teams, you know, and be able to play hard between each play. And that's what we've been working on. We got to be able to finish a lot better because we always in the game in the fourth quarter, the last couple of seconds, something tends to fall off, and we can't have that this year.
In 2017, you, Lionel Hill, and Tedrick came in together. You guys pretty tight, I would imagine. Then yeah. Trey comes in the next year. But you take a lot of pride in your draft class?
Oh, yeah, no doubt. We talk about it all the time. And, you know, we wish we could have had Trey in that draft class. It would have been perfect. But, you know, we still take him in. You know, he's like my brother. So it's cool. But I'm so happy about our draft class. I can't wait to get Lionel Hill back there, you know, back healthy. And he's back running around again because – each time we show a clip of how to tackle or do things the right way or take it on the block, it's always Lionel Hill who got the example of that play. So he was a big, you know, piece to our defense last year, especially when it came to someone who went down. He filled in. It was perfectly. We didn't miss a beat. So just getting him back healthy is something that we're looking forward to.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear you say that because Pete talks about a lot about Lionel. Mm-hmm. And we didn't necessarily see it that much, but you always mm-hmm. hear those kinds of things that he does right. How about Tedrick?
Tedrick is going to be awesome. That's he's definitely someone I'm excited about. You know, and you get to create that group. So, you know, you got this duo like, you know, Richard Sherman and Earl Thomas and those guys. That type of duo is something that we want to try to build on. You know, that's the guys they look up to, you know, me playing cornerback, and they look up to Tedrick playing safety. So we got to be those guys that we got to do everything right, and we got to make sure that they can look up to us and be able to count on us to make those plays. And I'm excited about Tedrick because he's so focused on this season, and I know he's so excited, and I just can't wait for him to see him do great. You know, you can tell how bad he loved this game and how bad he wants to be great. You know, I remember him walking by. He was like, you know what? I just want to be in the conversation of the great safeties. If I'm just in the conversation, that's something I'm looking forward to. And a guy who says that, you can tell he loved the game because he want to be great. He don't want to be an average player. So I'm excited for him, and I can't wait to see what we do together.
Hey, Shaquille, you and your brother wrote a book called Inseparable, available at Amazon.com and probably Barnes & Noble and all over the place. What was that whole process like for you guys?
Oh, that process was different. It was definitely therapeutic because, you know, you take those off days and you sit here on the phone with a writer and you got to pour out everything that ever happened. You know, it's some things that is so deep that you never want to bring up again, but you have to if you want the book to be good and you want people to be able to relate. So going through that process, you know, for about a year and a half, it was, like I said, it was very therapeutic, but it was a cool process. And when it came to that book tour, it was very long. So I'll definitely think about the next time I write a book, when I write it, because, man, that process is long when you going different places and city to city and just, you know, signing books. So it was different, but it was something that we definitely loved doing.
What did you guys want to accomplish from that? Like, what was your motivation for doing the book?
So our motivation came from just being able to help people. So we've been doing it for so long. We were 13 years old. We created our own track organization for kids who felt like they needed another outlet or just something to do that kept them out of trouble. So we've been doing that since we were 13 years old. And the main thing is, you know, with the story that we have to tell when it comes to my brother Hand or just our brotherly love or the things that we went through as, you know, kids and something that kind of shaped our lives now. It's just, I feel like it's people, sometimes they just need to hear it. You know, some people don't have, you know, mothers or fathers or friends or family just to sit there and be like, you know what, I got you, I believe in you, and just have that type of person to be able to talk to. So if they don't have that, it can come to us, you know. So that book gave us a reason to share our message for guys and girls who may not have someone in their corner. And the book, it talks about football, talks about family and faith. It talks about, you know, your brotherly and sisterly love. Talk about parents making hard decisions. And talk about, you know, kids making mistakes and, you know, just people in general who make mistakes who feel like they can't bounce back from it. You know, so it talks about second chances. So I feel like the book, it reaches everybody on different levels. And I feel like anybody who reads it, you know, kid or, you know, grown up, anybody can relate to a girl or a boy.
I think it's cool how much you love your brother. And I say that because I've got twins myself. I think I've mentioned to you, they're 15, and I hope they love each other as much as you and Shaquem. I went on your Twitter timeline, and I saw, I mean, you guys just celebrated a birthday together,
yeah.
July 20th, and Shaquem said, "It's an honor and blessing to call you my twin." And then you returned the favor with, you know, what an honor it is and how proud you are of him. And, boy, what a cool relationship the two of you have.
No doubt. It's funny. People are like, so you gave him a birthday shout out like it wasn't your birthday either. I said that message here and tweet wasn't about me, it was about him, you know. So it was his birthday, it's also mine's, but I was giving a shout out to him, not myself. So it's funny that you brought that up.
Do you have twins coming up to you guys all the time, and how different are they? Like, you should have this conversation, I guess, but I mean, probably not every twin has that same type of bond, right?
Yeah, we hear about it. One, I never met so many twins in my life.
Yeah.
so that's pretty cool. But we always hear different stories. You know, people coming up to us wishing they were closer, or actually today. So we met the Flying Blue Jays, or they came in. Blue Angels.
I called them Blue
Jays.
Yeah, so I began mixed up, but Blue Angels. They came in, and one of the young ladies came up and was like, "Yeah, she have a twin." You know, they used to be real tight when it was about, you know, 20, 21. Then they kind of went their own way. So it's like, I told her, well, you know, it happens, but I'm pretty sure you guys still close. Said, me and my brother, instead of doing that, we decided to live with each other. So we did the exact opposite.
Yeah.
But, no, we hear different stories all the time of people who may be close, and some of them, they're really not, and they don't talk no more. So it's kind of tough. And every time I hear that, you know, type of story or, you know, situation, we kind of sit there and talk. And I remember someone came up to me and asked me, what should they say, because they haven't spoke to a twin in forever. I feel like sometimes you have to be the bigger person, or one of you guys have to, and just initiate the conversation first. Sometimes it's just things that you probably have deep down that you want to say that you feel like you shouldn't say. I said, when it comes to that, just let it out. I said, you'll feel a lot better after, you know, and let whatever happens after, but just get it out for it, because it might help your twin to hear it. You know, they might be waiting to hear it, and you just saving it. So sometimes you got to be the bigger person, you know, initiate that conversation. And sometimes all you need is just one conversation.
I've always thought that the saddest thing is talking to people whose families have become fractured.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, and they can't relate to their siblings or don't even talk to their siblings.
Yeah.
Like, it's the one thing that we all should be an unquestionable source of love, right?
No doubt.
It's family. So I think that's really well said.
Yeah, no doubt. Sometimes I feel like it's pride.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some people hold that deep down and like, you know what, I feel like I shouldn't have to do that. I feel like they should have to say something first. And it's all about pride. Sometimes you got to let that part go. And you know, I feel like you feel a lot better if you had, you know, your family member in your corner than, you know, being alone. So
Are your boys best friends?
I think so.
Yeah.
I mean, they hang out all the time. They play on the same teams, basketball and baseball. Yeah. And yeah, they seem close. But I wonder about it. I don't know exactly. I've never seen them sing together in a car before, like you and Shaquem, though.
That time will come. I don't think we started that when we was around 15.
What were you guys singing? What did you see them singing?
You have a good voice.
I told my agent, I said, you know what, when I'm done playing football, I might take some singing lessons.
Yeah.
So me and my brother might take a class. So my agent told me if we take a class, him and his son will take a guitar lesson, and we'll form our own band. And I really meant it, so I told him. I actually reminded him a couple of days ago about these lessons, and he said he was dead serious. So we might come up with our own little band. So, yeah, we got to look out for that.
Nice. Yeah, you see him singing in the car with Shaquem?
Yeah.
It's good stuff.
It's fantastic.
Yeah. What was the song?
Oh, it's a lot of different songs, but mainly R&B.
Yeah. Can you sing a few bars for us?
Oh, I don't got it on me. No, coming out of practice, my voice kind of scratches.
Yeah. I didn't think you would, but on the off chance, I mean, Will Disley sang the Husky Fight song once for us, so just thought I'd give it a shot.
Maybe next time, you know, my voice is not scratchy. I want it to be good.
No, okay. What are you telling
First impressions count.
Rest assured, I'll ask next time.
he,
He's not here to take your request.
I thought maybe he'd want to sing
generally,
a little bit.
Generally, when someone asks for a performance, they offer an incentive for that.
We're just happy to have you here to talk to
very
us.
Nice
you don't have to sing to us.
Shaquille, you want me to sing?
No, one does. Nice. Nope, absolutely not.
Fight for Washington State.
Oh, my God.
No, sorry.
Is that one of those questions that's rhetorical?
Win the victory. We're going to win this day for
Shaquille, we really appreciate you joining
us.
One
last question. One last question really quick.
As long as it's not him singing.
Yeah, I'm just trying to cut him off. What will be the cheat meal tomorrow?
The cheat meal tomorrow.
After the scrimmage.
I think I just wanted like a real sloppy burger.
Yeah.
You know, add extra bacon, cheese, just dressed up all the way with a cheesecake on the side.
You got a good place for burgers here in Seattle?
No, I do not.
Shake Shack.
I heard about that one.
Shake Shack.
Five Guys, Dick's, Burger Master.
Burger Master, Shake Shack.
I'm going to give you a different one.
You can dine in your car, too.
Little Woody's.
Little Woody's. I haven't heard that one.
Little Woody's is on Capitol Hill. Okay. It's right on Pike, right off the freeway. It's delicious.
So, Little Woody's.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, you got Little Woody's, Shake Shack. And
Burger Master.
Dick's is a tradition around here, too.
Okay.
Yeah. Dick's is also
that's a
tradition.
Late night.
There is, I think there's a Dick's closer to where you guys are playing in the scrimmage tomorrow. Okay. I know there's one in Lake City.
Oh, there's the Ranch Drive-In right across from Pop Keeney.
Right by Pop Keeney. Yeah, there is a good burger
place.
So
we got some spots there. Okay.
Yeah.
Shaquille, thank you so much.
No doubt. Appreciate you guys.
Got a couple other suggestions that have come in here. Zippy's. I believe that's out in West Seattle, and Zippy's is fantastic. Red Mill is a classic. Red Mill up on Finney Ridge.
Jim and I, at the same time, because you probably too, Danny, you've been out to Pop Keeney where they're having their scrimmage tomorrow.
The Ranch. The Ranch is a good one.
Ranch it up. Been there forever. Yeah, it's a good spot.
I think Little Woody's is my favorite.
I've never been to Little Woody's.
Yeah, it's just up the road here. I should take you someday.
All right.
They've got a New Mexican with a burger with a Hatch green chili, some queso.
Mm.
It's delicious. A little bit messy. It's a little bit messy, but very, very worthwhile.
I finally made it to Shake Shack. It was down in San Diego, and Groz was giving us reports about the lines outside of Shake Shack, and it was good.
Do you have a concrete? Isn't that what they sell?
I had a concrete. I also had some sort of portobello burger that was really good. What's concrete?
It's like their version of a shake. Apparently a little bit thicker.
Is it gray?
Yeah, I hope not. That would be unappetizing. Oh. It is Danny David Moore. We're going to get you set at what to look for at the scrimmage next.
This is Danny, Dave, and Moore.
From the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming everywhere at 710sports.com and the 710 Seattle app.
This hour, Danny, Dave, and Moore, it's brought to you by Parsons Extreme Golf. What are you going to be watching? We've got a scrimmage tomorrow, Pop Keeney Stadium. Dave Wyman, Jake Heaps, they're going to be calling the action. Jessamyn McIntyre are going to be on the sidelines.
Let's go.
I'm going to be, what do you see down there, Jess?
And I'll just go for 20 minutes.
You're down on the field.
Sounds fantastic.
So how's this going to go, Dave? Are you going to be like a play-by-play guy?
Not really.
I'm not going to try to be Steve Rabel. We're just going to describe, you know, we'll have like an ongoing discussion. I'm really interested to hear what Jake sees. And, and then Jess being down on the sidelines will be able to, you know, bring it a little bit. It's cool being on the sidelines. It's a totally different perspective. I think even being in the stands sort of sanitizes the speed and the hits and everything. But when you're down there, you see how fast things happen. And so I think that's why Jess is sort of in on that whole ridiculousness of the helmet-to-helmet hits, because you see how quickly it happens. And Jess, I think, has discovered that it's not the Matrix.
It is indeed not the Matrix.
It's not the Matrix out there. So anyway, yeah, we're just going to describe, you know, who's in the game and just kind of talk about it. It's not going to be like a Steve Rabel. I'm not trying to take Rabel's job right now. Although I threatened to do that last year because I had to read like an ID, station ID or something while he was in the bathroom. And I was like, that's how you get Wally Pipped, you know. Isn't that the Wally Pipp, the guy who filled in, and all of a sudden, the guy lost his job?
He had a headache. Lou Gehrig started a game, and the rest was history.
Yeah. Now, Rabel does such a great job. But, we're just going to kind of have a discussion about it. It's going to be cool. There's lots of great things to look for. Safeties, I'm still high on that, where I still think that, and hearing Shaquille Griffin talk about Tedrick, that's the guy I'm rooting for. I mean, I don't know who it's going to be, but it is, to me, I think it's his job, because he played quite a bit last year. We talked to Moyer about this, who was a safety, and he's like, well, I mean, I don't think it's that big of a deal. You got Tedrick Thompson, who played an entire year last year.
I find myself, and I'm not sure exactly why, I really like Marquise Blair. I loved the way he played in college. I loved the quote from the anonymous scout who told Bob Ginn in Green Bay that I'd draft him in the second round if he wasn't crazy. Mm-hmm. I love the fact that he doesn't say boo.
Got kicked out of the Husky game.
Yeah, and that was an awful call. Like, even right. at the time, that was horrible. That was maybe the worst targeting ejection that I've seen.
But is he better suited for strong safety or free safety?
He seems like he runs pretty fast.
Because McDougal wants to play strong safety, I think.
Yeah.
It sounds like he'll play free safety, but only if that's the best option.
That's kind of how I feel, too. I'm not sure if Blair is more of a free safety than a strong safety. And interviewed McDougal the other day, and he really likes being up in the box. So, of course, he'll do whatever. A lot of times, you know, we got this from him last year, that him and Tedrick would say, all right, you stay. Let's not switch because of it's strong and free. So, maybe it doesn't really matter as much as we think, but Tedrick Thompson, I just love the way he hits. And coming back into his third year, this should be it for him. This is where he makes his move.
I think the biggest competition spots for roster making the team, I think it's at wide receiver, because I think you've got 7 or 8 guys that are legitimately competing for what could be anywhere between 4 and 6 spots.
Mm-hmm.
Might even be more than that. Jazz Ferguson's a guy who's real big. Runs that they seem pretty optimistic about. You've got the 3 rookies, Gary Jennings, John Ursua, and in addition to DK Metcalf, Jerron Brown. You've got a lot of different, David Moore. You've got a lot of different guys that are going to be competing for spots, and all of them are not going to make the team. And then on the flip side, in the defensive backfield, we know the 2 starting corners. Is Nico Thorpe's been here for a while and is a special teams mainstay. Can he make this team if he's not winning a backup cornerback job?
Yeah, Akeem King. Yeah.
Another guy that's had a lot of playing time. I think he's presumed to be the first one up. And then you've got Ugo Amadi, who is right now could be a safety, could be a nickel cornerback. I think that there's a lot that's going to come into focus. So I'm really going to be watching the defensive backs and the wide receivers.
Well, and then D-line, I mean, this is a big deal. Now, all of a sudden when LJ... I'm sorry, what was it? LJ, I don't want to call him Collins.
Collier.
LJ Collier goes down, you're like, okay, he's a rookie, you didn't expect that much from him, but he's a first-round draft choice. You drafted him to come in and immediately contribute. That's what a first-rounder does. And you lose Jaron Reed, you lose Frank Clark, now this. I mean, it's starting to get... It's not desperate, but I mean, Bob and Clayton just had this conversation, and I agree with Bob. I mean, John was saying, well, they're very deep at those 3 positions, receiver, safety, and then, you know, with the linemen, but you have lots of bodies there, but you don't have resumes. And that's what Bob's point was, that as far as a resume goes, who do you have other than Tyler Lockett? And you could say Jerron Brown. You don't really have a resume. I'd throw Malik Turner in there, too. I think he's played
Turner's
really
a great
well.
One to put in there. Yeah. He had an awesome catch yesterday.
He did, yeah. That touchdown, I mean, it was just full-out layout and tumble after he caught it, hung on to it. But, yeah, you got lots of bodies there that are competing, but no proven commodities out there at either of those positions. So it's you kind of worry about D-line right now. It's getting kind of thin.
What can you learn during a scrimmage about the D-line, Dave? I mean, if somebody, like, let's say Jacob Martin has a couple of sacks, and I imagine they blow the whistle and stop it before, yeah, you know, once he gets there. But can you learn something about those guys tomorrow?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. I just think the speed, how they come off the edge there, and then, you know, are they holding? I mean, you're going to see the first, well, I guess last Saturday they had kind of what was a scrimmage. But, you know, as far as the run defense, you'll be able to tell if there's guys running through the middle of that defense. That's going to be bad news. So, and I'm really interested. The 2 linebackers I'm most interested in this year, Bobby and KJ, I never even worry about, just because you know what you're going to get from them. But Kendricks and Barton are going to be, it's going to be fun to watch both of those guys this year. So can Cody Barton continue to be the player that he's been? Because he's been really good in the pass game. And there's been lots of 7-on-7, 1-on-1 type of things. And that's why I say, I think, you know, he's a linebacker that, like, hits and plays the run really well. But for him to shine that well in those drills that are really set up for the offense to win is pretty amazing.
You said you saw Michael Kendricks up at the line of scrimmage. What does that tell you about what they might be thinking with him?
Well, again, you know, it could have been the formation, mm-hmm, and it could have been, you know, like I said, you can't, you know, just put him up on the line of scrimmage if, you know, the formation is away or something like that. But I think that they might, as far as matchups go, go a little bit further than they normally would of not substituting a DB in, because he can cover and he can play, you know, kind of like a defensive back.
It is Danny Davenport. Really grateful for Shaquille Griffin coming by. It was fun to talk to him. He's such an energetic personality and going to be a big part of this defense. Jessamyn McIntyre is our producer. Matt Nelson was on the board. For the three of us, we've had an absolutely great week. Seahawks training camp. We're looking forward to the scrimmage tomorrow, Popkeeney Stadium. That's at 1 o'clock here on 710 ESPN Seattle. We'll talk to you Monday.